And Jan, the same thing. She's not paying bills, but the demands have just been enormous. But she's working on it, right?
It's almost done.
Is it? Okay, great. As you know, in November, you all decided that all of the CPQs should be sent in together. And so the letter actually that Barbara wrote to accompany them will need to be redone with a different date. It's going to go with the packet. And if I can just add, I think it's probably kind of a good idea that they didn't all go in first. I mean, with all this emphasis on the budget and, you know, being brought to the attention of the senators and actually a bill introduced because we requested $53,000. I mean, it's just, it would have been one more log in the fire of so-called ammunition against, you know, that, you know, maybe we aren't being wise stewards of the money. So it's probably not too bad of a thing that it's delayed. The other piece of it is the budget, which I'll talk about more. But anyway, that's where we're at with the questionnaires themselves and submitting those for consideration to state personnel. Can I go ahead and talk about policies and state plan? They're in new business, I guess I'll wait because we need a public comment time in between. Let's see, the NIS update, really the Jonathan has attended some meetings continuously trying to make sure that they do whatever they do, it's accessible, and you know, that they remember that there is a law requiring, not just a law, but a number of state and federal issues requiring the state to be mindful of accessibility. There really hasn't been anything, you know, concrete to report, but we try to stay in the process and keep reminding them of the need to pay attention to that.
Excuse me, since we're on that subject, I might as well ask right now if any of you have gone to those websites to check the budget information. That sounds like a resounding
no.
Okay, no. All right.
Let's see. The website is up. It is operational. Is it www.ncbbi.state.ne.us?
Yep.
Okay, that's the... we don't have any commissioner bios on there yet.
You could have one.
Right.
Mine's been on for a very long time.
We have one. It's not on. Would you prefer us to wait until we have the full package of the five of you before? I guess that's what I was kind of thinking. But if you'd rather have us go ahead and put some on as they come in, we can do that too.
Well, now that you've embarrassed us.
Up until now, I was going to say wait, but I think I'm getting to the point where if it will inspire people to get it done, go ahead and put mine on. And
I think that's the way it should be as they come in, put them on.
Yeah. Okay. In the email I think received yesterday, you asked us to bring them.
That's
along.
Right, I did.
I've got mine here.
Yes! Okay. Well, it was effective for one.
Right. Gentle nudges at work, huh? Yeah.
To bring along while the statement from our senator to the Health and Human Services, right?
Well, yeah.
Does the bio need to be a hard copy or is an email sufficient? Or?
Email would be preferable.
Actually, email is better.
Okay.
Or desk, yes.
I don't know, is this the right
page?
Yes.
This
is Senator Jensen.
Okay, absolutely. We keep lots of things hidden.
Email to say to bring that along and they get our bio off that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Is that what
I understand. This is what Dorothy brought is the letter from Senator Engel to Senator Jensen asking the support of her confirmation.
Yes.
And so, yes, that has the information. That'll be great.
That's the only copy of that I have, so.
We'll copy it and send you back the original.
Okay.
Well, two down.
Good job.
Now, is the website separate from having the commissioners receive an email from the public or?
Right. That whole area, I know that there was some notes back and forth between Barbara and Kelly. I have not been able to figure that out or, you know, put any attention to that at all. But I think that is the goal, that there would be kind of a email us thing on there that then the public could email, and it wouldn't go to you personally, and then you all would be able to go to the website and see what email there was there and then reply. I don't know how that works, but I think that's what we're going to have someday. Let's see, anything else about the website that anybody knows?
Well, we had raised the question of whether we wanted our personal addresses on there or not, and I don't remember getting a clear.
Well, I think it was not. We were going to have them on the this master website.
Mm-hmm. So we have decided that we would do what Pearl was talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Okay. Let's see. Let me talk. Well, let's see.
Could you do the address one more time of the website?
Sure. www.ncbvi.state, S-T-A-T-E, .ne.us.
Okay.
I did ask, I emailed the regional office of RSA asking whether they, you know, whether we could set them up as a link on our webpage, whether that was appropriate, whether anybody did that, if they, you know, would object or would want that or whatever, and I have not had a reply. So we'll see. I know that they are, the person who is our appointed representative injured herself and is off work, and so our previous representative is kind of filling in. But he has about four other states he's assigned to, too. So we'll see how that goes. Let's see, this state, no, we're not going to the New Midlands. Materials update, I don't have anything on that. I do want to tell a little bit about numbers served, just so that you know. For the first quarter of this current fiscal year, which started October 1, we, in our vocational rehabilitation track, we have provided services to 419 people in all statuses. The number of closures, the successful closures during that time was 15 as successful employment 26s, and then there were 18 four in post-employment. Let's see, yeah. So 19 successful closures during this time in the voc rehab. Independent living, we have in this first quarter served 501 clients in all statuses. Carlos, do you want to comment anything else about that?
Reports.
Anything in particular of interest, like jobs that we're willing to?
No, just that we are building more relationships with the Department of Corrections and the Department of Health and Human Services, so they will hire more blind people. I went to talk to the area supervisors a month or so ago, and I got a call last week that they want to come to visit the center, but I didn't even invite them, but, so that's a good
Great.
Sign. And I think Fatou, she's arranged that already. It takes time to build relationships, I encourage you, even the audience, if you have any contacts, you never know, sometimes a friend, a neighbor, think about it and let us know so we can keep building this relationship.
I guess my only question would be, where are we with regard to the policies?
Yes, that's, well, that one's down in new business.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you want, okay. I can address it now if you want.
We can wait.
Okay. The budget, I do want to talk a little bit more about. Bill Brown has been putting together information that he's discussing with the administrative team. We meet about every 3 weeks, and then from there we'll be disseminating the information and having many further discussions with supervisors and then with all staff. But just kind of the overview to let you know, the amount of funds that we have, that is, you know, if we can fully match, but which we're confident we have this year, the amount of funds we have is about $3.5 million. The amount of expenditures that we have budgeted for is $3.6 million. So even fully matching the federal funds, we are very much stretched, and we're trying to find efficiencies wherever we can. You know, the reason we're so stretched is because we've really expanded what we do in getting to employers and in providing technology to consumers, and just the whole range of the services we provide has grown dramatically, and our expectations of ourselves has grown dramatically. So the budget is certainly a concern. We really, you know, a lot of states go far beyond just matching the federal dollars from rehab. They have all kinds of other grants, they have funds, they have, you know, obviously we're working on a lot of those things, and I really think the progress we made between July 1 and now is pretty amazing, but it's not going to be enough. We really will keep pushing on this, and I'm really looking forward to the work that the Friends is going to do help just continue to build our resource. We kept talking to the senators about building a funding base, and the, you know, the matching the federal is crucial, but I'm really hopeful we're going to go far beyond that, but it definitely will take time, and you know, we need to find ways to live within the $3.5 million budget that we have. As I said, our expenditures are 3.6, so it's not an easy situation to be in. We're doing all we can to find ways to make that work and increase our funds and our grants and so on. So that's, I don't know, Barbara, do you have anything else about the budget you want to say?
I don't think so.
I had a question on the, it seemed like the kind of the rush at last fall to get the state to the different agencies. I think it's an Administrative Service Agency or GSA, or may not have the exact, but how, whoever sets the number to say that we say all the services we provide to CBVI equal, you know, I think it was $10,000.
Right.
That was kind of just a cookie cutter approach, whereas there's probably some departments in the state that provide more services and spend more time than just the cookie cutter approach might indicate. But in order to substantiate that, it's, you know, requires more work and having them re-examine and come up with a different methodology. Is there so that in the budgetary process, the next time to get that number re-looked at, or
yes,
yes, we are. First of all, it's the Department of Administrative Services.
Yeah.
And a fair amount of research and work went into looking at it during, like, kind of at the beginning of becoming a commission, and we that was as far as we could get at that time. But the Department of Administrative Services, or DAS, is, as I understand it, currently in the process of developing this next year's statewide cost allocation plan. And so Bill is going to be meeting or making phone calls starting Monday to really get on that and see if it can be determined that we really should be allocated a higher number.
In private business, it's just the opposite. The departments hate to be allocated costs, and they cringe every time you allocate them costs. And
right.
We want allocated more cost. And is throughout the state government? I mean, is it, you know, since this gets that federal drawdown? I mean, is there very many other state agencies that really benefit from a higher cost allocation?
Well, sure. Any of the agencies that need to match federal dollars does benefit from it, yes. And
but I guess, are there a lot of those? Would that be a largest percentage of the state agencies, or is that a...
Quite a few. I don't know about percentage. I can't even tell you how many state agencies there are. But there are quite a few state agencies that do get federal dollars. I don't think there are too many that are as high a match as ours as the Voc Rehab program is. 80-20 and 90-10 for the independent living and older blind programs. That's a tremendous buying power for the state dollar or the non-federal dollar.
Because there's almost, in these allocations, there's always some degree of arbitrariness, I guess.
Right. Yes.
And the fact that, you know, this agency benefits so much, even though that can't be said overtly, that, you know, wink, nudge, nudge, when the, you know, these allocations are being put together, that are we confident that we have the ear of the right people and they're, you know, working with us, or are they apt to just want to do the cookie cutter approach and not really get too deep into, well, maybe, you know, we do provide more services?
I would say it would be the latter, unless we can really get in there. We have pretty good support from our fiscal analyst and the fiscal analyst in the governor's office, who I think have been real willing to work with us on what we need to do. Now, that has not been specific to the statewide cost allocation process, but that's just something he's going to be working more on. If anybody knows anybody in Department of Administrative Services who's a decision maker and a policy maker, put the word in.
Well, I imagine a lot of it has to do with their methodology, that they have to probably change their methodology. And now's the time to do it, as the commission is born.
Right.
Because what's, you know, it's going to get set in stone, and that we need to have them, you know, relook at the methodology and get it more to our liking.
Yes. In fact, the way that, in order to get the $10,000 that we were basically allocated for this year, because we didn't exist when the current plan, SWCAP, Statewide Cost Allocation Plan, that's put together each year with all the agencies that would get their portion. Well, we weren't even an agency then, so Health and Human Services was granted a certain portion, and so all that we could do, and in this case the we is Bill Brown and the guy from DAS, and then the person at HHS who's in charge of the plan. And the HHS amount was strictly based on personnel, or FTEs. And so they figured out of, okay, the 6,000 HHSS FTEs, and there's 50 at the center, at the commission, so just kind of set the ratio of what it was. And actually it was closer to $7,800, but they said, well, let's call it 10. And so we could have dug more into that, but that was still with kind of within the framework of HHS. And I felt at the time if we, and I still think we did the right thing, if we had pushed that piece of it, they might have just said, okay, it's $7,880, you know. But I think for this next year, it won't be as part of HHS. It'll be just us working directly with our budget analysts and the DAS people. And so that's when I think we can have the conversations like you're suggesting, Bob. And that's one thing Bill is definitely good at doing, is having that kind of a conversation with people.
When do these conversations need to take place?
This is another one of those things, nobody tells you anything. During all of our discussions recently about the budget, we did basically decide on Monday he's going to start making calls, you know, really getting on this.
Because maybe it's something that the commission could write a letter, you know, as commissioners,
right,
write a letter to the DAS guy, saying that, you know, we basically some kind of framework letter that it's very important that this be looked at in an overall basis and not just, you know, like last year where it was just ratio of HHS and that. I don't know. I guess it would probably every little bit helps, and mm-hmm. you know, just have to be budget warriors, I guess, and
right.
and probably a letter from the commissioners couldn't hurt.
Well, I've been gathering information about it because there are some rather large discrepancies between what used to be part of that several years ago and what it is now, and the discrepancies go down for the blind, and that. Even in the best of things or whatever, does not make sense. And also, whatever it was that Health and Human Services was allocating for that came up to something like $320,000, some of that, or a goodly portion of that, seems to have vanished or something. And I realize that I'm not a budgeter, but if there were expenses that were being considered by the federal government to be worthy of matching that Health and Human Services was doing with respect to the blind, those monies should have been transferred, even if they're soft monies. And Bill Brown did talk about that yesterday at the budget hearing, saying that we are not asking for more money than has ever been used on the blind. In fact, we're actually asking for less. But what has seemed to have happened is that some of what the Health and Human Services system was saying it was doing to serve us seems to have gone away, because it's not being, you know, those things are not being funded for the blind. And we need to get to the bottom of that, because something is just not working out in the numbers.
Now, it is important to remember that the statewide cost allocation plan is entirely different from the cost allocation, the in-kind, that HHSS establishes.
Yes, and if I mixed the two, I didn't do that on purpose. I was talking about the Health and Human Services, what they did that
right.
didn't end up getting, as far as we can tell, fully transferred.
Hardly at all transferred.
Yeah.
In fact, the only funds, supposedly the full funding for our business office was transferred when 352A was written, but actually only the state part. We got $22,000 is all we got to support two people in the business office. So, you know, it really, and that $327,000 per year that HHSS listed out that they used to support services for the visually impaired, that's all state money. And so, and that's why the full match was there the last few years. There was no problem.
So possibly the implementation of 352 was maybe not done totally correctly?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, certainly HHS was not being real loud about saying, well, here, what you really should have is this. I mean, they didn't want us to go away anyway. So I think Bill made the point that all the facts were not on the table. You know, for example, Bill got for me a listing of what this $327,000 all is. You know, so much for the chief medical officer and this and that. I have never seen that document before. That was never provided to Dr. Nyman nor to me. You know, so there's just an awful lot of facts that just, and if you don't know what questions to ask, you can't raise the question and then get the answer. So
is the allocation from HHS, is that, I mean, the state allocation is an ongoing thing.
That's different. Yeah.
And needs and can be approved. But the allocation we got from HHS, is that a done deal?
Well, no, see, I mean, as a part of it, when we were part of HHSS, they, with their great efficiencies of scale, were able to provide all of, you know, these things to each part of the system. So, but we're no longer part of it. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure how we're going to address it, but I think Bill has a good handle on that. So he'll be working on it.
Okay. Well, maybe it's a little bit early, but I would think that, you know, any and all pressure could be brought to bear, and the
yes.
You know, letter from the commissioners couldn't hurt.
Well, I think that's a really good idea.
We need to know what we're going to write.
Right. I would recommend that I'll talk with Bill on Monday about this, and as soon as he is finding out, you know, the real specifics of how the whole process works, that he could email the board with some information of what would be advisable.
Because I'm sure, like, you know, to get the state allocation system to, you know, do more work is basically what it requires, but the key is to get the methodology more to our liking now.
Yes.
Because the methodology is going to get frozen, and that we just want to let the DAS know that, you know, we want you to, you know, to work on this, and then even though it's hard, it, you know, needs to be done, and let's get it right, and, you know, just to give them impetus to, you know, to do the extra work that's, you know, certainly would be needed, and no one likes to do extra work, but it needs to be done now, and while it's still in the beginning process.
Yep, that's a great idea.
Well, I intend also to talk to people and find out what they will say to me. Because I think that we need to sometimes have more than one person asking some of these things and see how the responses click. Because as Pearl says, if you don't know what questions to ask, you don't necessarily get the facts. And I think to some degree we may not have asked some of the most appropriate or most revealing questions. We've been trying to do that, and I think that everybody who's involved has been doing a good job of thinking new ways of asking or
right.
new questions to ask. But it's one of those things where, I mean, this is one of the reasons that being part of a monstrosity is so difficult. It depends on not only who you talk to, but what little piece of the job that person has been doing, what they even know.
Right.
Well, the first thing is we have to understand what the methodology that they're mm-hmm. using, mm-hmm. and then we have to give evidence as to why we think that methodology is wrong in our particular situations, and give them, you know, a counterpoint.
Well, we know what DAS did on the cost allocation this year. It took the little percentage of the big percentage, and that's what they did.
Right.
Now, that may or may not be the only way, or even the best way, to do that. And that's one of the things we need to find out.
Right.
Well, I thought, so in the future, are they going to continue to use that approach, or are we
probably, unless we try to get them to think a different way.
Okay, and then that's the important
right.
fact, is we don't want, if we, under last year's, we know we get 7,800, and they bump it up to 10 graciously, but
right.
that
well.
Methodology doesn't work. So if that's, we need them not to use that methodology anymore.
Right.
And
well, and there's also such a thing as, you know, saying a thing and then seeing if if someone bites on it, and then, you know, giving them a little more to make it seem like a good thing. I'm not saying that anybody would necessarily do that, but...
And I have to say, too, that, I mean, the amount of work that has gone in, that Bill and Dave, I mean, I talked earlier about what Dave's been doing, but that Bill has done with keeping up his part of all the running the business office, looking at the budget, figuring out the doing the biennium budget, the putting all of this together, as he said in his testimony yesterday, he started work August 14th. The biennium budget for the starting 2002 was due September 15th. We had it in on time. You know, I mean,
yeah.
So I, you know, at least he did go meet with them, try to get just even some cost allocation determined. If he
yes.
hadn't taken that step, we wouldn't even have that 10.
That's right.
So I really,
but I think
I just want to be real clear how much effort he's put in. We never had before the kind of budget information that we have now for actually attempting to manage it. We just sort of did kind of what we did.
That's right, and I think, you know, and I'm not saying really that DAS would necessarily tell us that one thing and then, you know, try to make us feel good, but a lot of times it's just a matter of if people are really busy and that kind of thing, they will do what is the easiest thing to do, and that's an easy formula for them to deal with, and it's, you know, maybe just what they decided would be the thing to do.
And we have to show them why that doesn't
right. and
make
he,
any sense.
Yeah, and he is going to get on it now. But as far,
yeah.
but to think that we maybe should have done more, I don't. I think, you know, he did what he could do.
Well, I think the argument can be made that, you know, that last year they just used the HHS spinoff and okay, fine. But now we need to say, okay, now we're established, and now, you know, this year I think is the critical one now.
Absolutely.
That this will set the precedent for the future allocations.
I think so too. And I'll make sure that he and I inform you as we, you know, get any more clear information about what to say, whom to say it to, you know, the whole process. We'll keep you posted. I guess the other things I have kind of come later in new business, so I'll conclude.
Okay. Now
Madam
we have a
chairman. Could we take
yes.
a short break?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it's now almost 11:15 or so, I think, and we have several things yet to do. How do we want to proceed? Do we want to take a short break and come back and finish? What is your pleasure?
Should we polish the public comments before we take a break? And then that'd be my thought, and then come back. And
mm-hmm.
Is that a consensus?
I would mm-hmm. say so.
Is that a problem for you, Dorothy?
No.
Okay. Okay, so are there comments from the public at this point? We have made, before I open that up, we made a decision at our August meeting that our approach to public comments would be that we would put a place in the agenda for that to happen, and that otherwise accepting of public comments within the context of the meeting would be up to the chairman. Obviously, I've been real open about that today so far, and so it's possible that everybody has said whatever you wanted to say up to this point, but this is the official, I guess, time for public comments.
Madam Chair?
Yes, and if you could identify yourself, that would be helpful. I know you, Mike, but I mean,
I'm Michael Floyd. I have three things. First of all, on an item you mentioned earlier, Mr. Ostentowski, I believe, does have the FTP site, the connection established or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Did as a last night. Should facilitate things. The other thing, I have sort of an alert about rehabilitation program that I got an email on, and I'd like to read that.
Okay, I have that also. So,
dear Federationist, I am writing to enlist your help on a matter that needs immediate attention. on January 19, 2001, the final rule which redefined an employment outcome was approved. Under the rule, state vocational rehabilitation agencies can no longer close the case of a person placed in a sheltered workshop since sheltered employment is no longer considered to be employment outcome. The final rule encourages vocational rehabilitation agencies to assist individuals with disabilities to obtain employment in the mainstream labor force rather than restricting their choices and leading them to employment in segregated settings. The National Federation of the Blind supports the final rule and work diligently to bring about its final adoption. However, some groups oppose the final rule and are asking the new Secretary of Education to overturn it. At this writing, organizations opposing the final rule have sent 100 letters to the Secretary of Education voicing their objections. In order to prevent the Secretary of Education from taking action to rescind the rule, we must act quickly. When the Department of Education was considering adopting the rule last year, hundreds of our members submitted letters in support of the proposed change. Our efforts resulted in the final adoption of the rule. Once again, we need to voice our support of the rule. Without our intervention, the final rule will be in jeopardy. Write the Secretary of Education and ask him to support the final rule by allowing for its full implementation. In writing letters of support, the following information may be helpful. One, the purpose of Title I of the Rehabilitation Act, as amended in 1998, is to assist individuals with disabilities to obtain high-quality employment in the integrated and competitive labor market. The definition of employment outcome, the successful placement of an individual in employment, should reflect the intent of the Rehabilitation Act. Hence, only integrated competitive employment should be counted as an employment outcome. Two, sheltered employment has consistently fallen short in providing individuals with career choices and social integration. In contrast, integrated competitive employment is more likely to provide better pay, better career and advancement opportunities, and the chance to participate directly in the social mainstream. Three, the final rule ensures that consumers of vocational rehabilitation will have ongoing access to services and will not lose out on opportunities for improved employment or pay if they are placed in sheltered workshops. Continued eligibility will provide individuals with disabilities the opportunity to transition into the more lucrative, integrated labor market. Submit your comments to the Honorable Roderick R. Page, Secretary of Education, Department of Education, 400 Maryland Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20202-0498. If you or any of our members in your state need help in writing the letters, please let me know. Thanks, Chris Cox.
I would just a couple of things. I've got a few copies of that available if people want them. And Secretary Page, his name is spelled P-A-I-G-E. I found out that. But I think it's really important. I believe we're fortunate in the state of Nebraska on any sheltered workshops. But it's important to know that now people can still be placed in sheltered workshops if that seems to be appropriate, but they will continue their eligibility for rehab services under this new rule. The other thing I was wondering on another matter was, we were talking about that $320,000 of state general funds that went to support all those neat things like we were talking about. I did a little quick calculation, and if we use the same kind of arithmetic that the Department of Administrative Services used, then that means that HHS spent a total of some $40 million on those kind of things for all of its programs. Does that seem like?
I think that's about right.
About right?
I bet it is. Mm-hmm. Remember, there was that $70 million computer
yep.
system.
Yeah.
Open and...
An accessible one.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I certainly encourage everyone to write about the rulemaking. Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired took a stand on that before, and I think it's certainly still appropriate. Is there any other comment from the public?
I guess I have one question. Is Jimmy Rock, and maybe this mm-hmm. Pearl can address it, or Jan. You mentioned next week that the public forum was going to follow the state rehab meeting.
Yes.
Which is fine. Knowing Mike's ability to run a meeting as well as he does, and given the jam-packed agenda, I'm curious how we intend to be through the agenda by 2.5 hours. I mean, is that possible to do?
We're going to try.
I know, just given the fact we have elections and everything else.
I know. That's a real quandary, and we just felt like what we'll have to do is make sure that the agenda is, you know, really, there's no fat in there, and
exactly, yeah.
You know, I think Michael and I will talk ahead of time to see if some reports or so on could just be presented as handouts. I don't know if that doesn't really work statewide. I mean, we'll be talking about how we can make it work.
Yeah.
But honestly, it just seemed like the only way to really be able to meet, if we would have set up another full morning meeting someplace, we'd probably get snowed out, so.
Oh, I agree. I think it's a good idea. I'm just wondering how we're going to get through.
I don't know either, but we're going to try.
All right.
We'll try to keep the agenda moving along and ask each of the members to cooperate as much as possible.
Oh, our timekeeper says 2 minutes.
Anything else?
Yeah, we'll have Connie at the rehab council meeting.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Patoche.
I have a question that is asked to me, and I really didn't know how to answer about the bill that we're trying to pass, and I think Bob Gertz has some questions about the funding and where the money is going to go. Let's say that if we get $120,000 and if we use it as a match to get federal money, that is about, what, $600,000-$700,000?
Yes, thank you for pointing that out, Fatosha. Very good point.
So my question is that we might be topping our federal match by using that money. And if all of it is going to go to BEP, then will that affect our other programs?
One of the things that we had talked about when the proposal was first made was that the intent of getting that money was never necessarily that it be used for federal match. One of the things that was talked about was that it could be used for that. But one thing that would probably happen is that would be, if we were fully matching with other money, we would not necessarily use that to capture match. There would still be enough money to help with expanding the program. And with the federal match, there are a lot of things that happen that people are served, you know, ways that people are served that could be used. But I think the intent and the idea behind it has always been that the state money itself would certainly be earmarked for expansion and specific things toward the vending facility program, but it wouldn't be used for federal match if we already had other monies to capture that.
Ms. Chairman, Carlos Cervantes.
Yes.
I work on the drafting of the intent of the bill with Senator Priester's office, and we were clear into that will not be used necessarily for federal match. You know, that's internally, we could use that. The question was raised by Senator Priester's office, and we clarified that that's not the purpose. In fact, when he gave his testimony, it's not the intent. So if problems or questions up to occur in the future, according to the law, we'll go back to the intent of the law, which is basically his statement that he did.
Does that adequately answer the question?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
What's the disadvantage of it? You know, why not get as much federal match as possible?
No, I'm not arguing to get the federal money.
I don't think anybody is.
Yeah, I think we should go for it.
I agree.
My question is that then are we going to spend the federal capture we have to VEP?
No, okay.
Yeah, that's my question.
We'll make sure that we do it in a way that does not limit the